You think that's right again, Jacob? That doesn't seem like enough water to me, but 75 acre feet for annual usage for the for a data center, does that sound right? 25 million gallons?
So I would just try to be careful what I say here, but I'm saying the uses traditionally associated with this type of use would see an annual flow rate between 20 and 30 million gallons per year.
Okay. And us farmers are used to more talking about acre feet than gallons, and so that's 75 acre feet.
Yeah. I'll pull up my phone real quick, but it's, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Was it 350,000 gallons per acre?
325 foot? Or 328, yeah.
325, 688.
Okay.
That's pretty comparable to what the big data center said they needed to use.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, how much more water do we have available for these?
Centers.
Through the board.
I know. Yeah, right. One sentence, one said another, something never really said.
So from the entire port system, that question, you know, we probably use currently, and this is, I've got to use rough numbers here, but I would say with the addition of this future surface water treatment plant, we're going to have a rate of 10,000 GPM available for surface water. Out of our existing deep basalt well, you know, we've got 7 deep basalt wells and a rainy well system that is rated for an additional 10,000 gallons a minute. And based upon current consumption per annual, there's probably, I don't know, 2,500 GPM or so available out of the existing system, not counting the future 10,000 gallons a minute for the surface water treatment plant that's in the works.
Thank you.
Do we have questions for Dan?
We do. Thank you for joining us, Dan. We had a procedural question we'd like for you to give us some advice on. I think I shared him in my text. I'm not just playing him. And Dan's trying to straddle two hearings at the same time. Are you finished with your other hearing, Dan?
No. We're doing the applicant's presentation right now, but I duck up for that.
Yeah, okay, great. So the question, I'll try to be really quick about it, was can the Planning Commission continue the hearing? And Megan Lynn asked us to share the basis for continuing. Our code doesn't say that we're required to share the basis, but as a practical matter, as staff, we'd like to know what issues to further research. So can you just give some guidance on that?
Sure. There are a couple of issues that need to be considered. First of all, are we up against 150-day rule right now?
I don't know, kind of.
What's the written down? We'll look at that.
So state law requires the county to render a final decision. That includes resolution of all appeals within 150 days of when the application is deemed complete. And so if it's a continuance or extension requested by the applicant, then that tacks on time to that 150 days to accommodate that. If the applicant doesn't consent to it or ask for it, then the clock is ticking, and I would advise the county to not miss that 150-day deadline, understanding it might have to go up on appeal to the Board of Commissioners and needs to be time left for that. So I'd recommend the commission be pretty careful about exactly what the basis for the continuance is and what information that you want to obtain during the interval that would help you understand whether the application meets or does not meet the applicable approval criteria. So you'd have to, the information you're looking for needs to be tied to approval criteria. So for example, if it's a water demand type question, I don't believe your criteria are specific about that. It's basically, does the water service provider, can they serve? And it's kind of a yes or no question. And in these instances, I know the actual water demand by a data center, you know, it's partly driven by what the fire, local fire district needs to fight fires out there, and there's also what's the demand for processed water. You can't require this applicant or any applicant really to divulge what is their demand for processed water, since that's usually a trade secret. So that's why you defer to the water service provider. Can you serve, yes or no?
I think we did get the answer, or close to the answer, on how much water is required, and so I appreciate Jacob sharing that with us. Something that a lot of people have wanted to know for a long time.
So just, because Dan might not be available for a few minutes, the issues that that I heard the commission talking about that might lead you to want to continue the hearing had to do with the water, and it sounds like those have been answered. About the airport and future expansion, and maybe that got answered. Also, the expansion of the airport is not one of our standards, so that might be tricky.
And that's not on the table in this application.
That's
right.
That's right.
I think
it might be a useful thing to know outside the context of this quasi-judicial application, but I don't think you can. I wouldn't recommend you continue the hearing to get more information about something that's really not relevant to this application or the criteria.
Dan, I have a question for you. This is Brian Thompson. So,
sure.
Say there was 10 of these and they all came in right now, and maybe they weren't all Amazon, but they were this, they were that. And at some point, do we as planning commissioners have an obligation to the people that we represent to say, when's enough's enough? You know, if these things just keep checking all the boxes, we keep approving them,
basically, this is too many for our community.
Mm-hmm. I certainly hear that in our community
that's a matter of policy.
Yep.
Yeah. Basically, the Planning Commission, I always call my Planning Commissioners the technocrats of the whole process, that you review the code, figure out what the approval criteria are, and they're outlined in the staff report, and you apply those criteria. If you think those criteria basically don't have any sideboards or don't have enough sideboards to reflect community desires, because you're the one that hears all the public testimony.
I hear it all the time.
Yeah, and less so the Board of Commissioners. So you get to hear what people think, and you just kind of, what I'd recommend you do is take that in and make a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners to amend the code that, we feel that the county may be reaching a point of saturation. The county should consider, restricting the amount of land available for these uses, perhaps, or something like that to amend the code, but you are stuck with the code as it existed on the day the application was submitted, warts and all.
That's a very good answer.
So your hands are kind of tied, but you get to hear it. You get to hear public testimony and people's feelings.
I do have a question. Dan, so you just said that we, as a planning commission, could approach the Board of Commissioners with a proposal? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's outside of the context of this application.
Right, yeah.
You have to process this one under the standards as they existed. It's the developer's right to get that kind of review. And if you, as a side matter, think the code needs to be amended in some way, you can always make those requests and recommendations to the Board of Commissioners that, hey, we're getting a lot of feedback from the community on X, Y, and Z. You should consider amendments to this sort of thing. But those amendments wouldn't apply to this application. It was vested under the standards that existed at the time it came in.
And we'll have an opportunity to make that recommendation next. So if you guys have any...
I do have... Yeah. What about the request to change the wording on the DEQ and water and wastewater requirements? Would that be a point where we could hold it over?
So explain that more fully so I understand what you mean.
Go ahead, Tamara.
Okay, so you mean the whether or not we require those agency permits before or after? Is that the piece?
Yes.
So
you could, if there's something about your approval standards that allows you to require before you can approve this thing, then you can do that. That'd be kind of unusual. Typically, you would impose a condition that of your approval that requires the applicant to obtain all required state and federal permits before they operate. So like air discharge, stormwater grading, wastewater treatment, any kind of, you know, water right that's needed to serve the development, you would typically attach a condition saying, hey, you got to get your permits before you start operating. Because typically, you know, there's a big burden of proof to get those permits, and you can't require them to shovel all that information and evidence into this land use proceeding and make them prove up that, yes, we can get the permit or we've got the permit before they even get land use. So you can, I think it's always safer to just condition your approval on them getting post-approval their state and federal permits.
Yeah.
One of my things I've learned tonight, and I don't think the data centers are doing themselves any favors by trying to imply secrecy on their water usage, when I just learned that they're essentially using about a quarter to a third of the amount of water that an ag use would be on the same ground. So in other words, you got 105 acres of property here. If it was under ag use, it'd be 200 to 300 acre feet of water a year annually. But under a data center use, it's 75 acres. But no one has known that before. And so there's this perception that they're hogging up all this water, and that's a lot of the opposition against it. And they're not doing themselves any favors by not disclosing the amount of water they're actually using. You understand?
You might be right, but you can't make them. I know these are protected, and a lot of times the majority of the water demand for these uses is for fire suppression in the event it's driven by the local fire district. Right. So it's unrelated, really, to what the use is. So you're right, but it's the applicant's prerogative, and I know these things that seem like, why do they hide it? They do because it's a competitive sort of thing, and you can't make them cough that up, at least in a public forum.
I guess. Mm-hmm. I think if somebody's going to build a data center, they probably know how much water they need, so I don't understand.
I think you could Google that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So the way Daisy proposed the conditions, and then with condition G, so those two DEQ permits and the OWRD water right verification, that can come as we just have to have that prior to the building inspector issuing the certificate of occupancy.
Yeah, before the demand is actually there, they've got to have their permits to meet that demand. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then, Dan, you reminded us of the 150-day time clock. Daisy and I just checked it. That would expire October 25th. So if the commission felt the need to continue the hearing, we would bump that pretty close, because then if they didn't like your final decision and wanted to appeal to the board, that board's final decision has to be done by October 25th.
That might be tough to do.
But yeah, and that's what we're thinking. And that's also why Daisy gave them the option to just, or we just decided to put it to the Planning Commission, because we've already delayed this, because we're trying to figure out how much detail we need and how much we just say we're deferring that to another agency.
Yeah. The consequence of blowing the 150-day deadline is that the applicant can then move into circuit court and get an order requiring an approval and putting the burden of proof on the county to demonstrate that approval violates the comp plan and development code criteria, which is a tough burden to bear.
I don't think it does. Yeah. And we don't think it does. That's how the findings are written. We think that it complies with that.
Right. Yeah, or can through conditions of approval.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Any additional questions?
I don't have a question. I just had a comment for the Public Works. I appreciate what you're doing out there, and I'm curious how this is all going to shake out regarding the traffic and all the things that are going on out there. So I feel like that's a kind of another little buffer that could
matter.
Well, he could shut them down. Well, he could shut down construction if it's not safe, or make them make modifications
during the construction period.
Yeah, construction period. Thousand vehicles a day out there.
If it helps at all, I mean, to this particular project, as I said publicly here, I'm not so concerned, but to directly answer your question with the cumulative impacts, I can see a high potential of having an additional refuge lane heading southbound to get onto the airport at some point. That I can see that happening soon. Not necessarily with this project, but the more that goes on, I can visualize there's plenty of room. I got a lot of right of way to put in a right turn refuge.
Add another lane.
Yeah. Anything that goes on, as I have done over the last 6 years, if there's a safety issue, I address it immediately. Yeah.
So, where are we?
All right, so they've met their conditions, so I guess we, I don't know that we have any leg to stand on continuing. I believe they did answer the questions, and I don't believe we have time.
Jacob did.
I would just ask if we have any questions, call for a motion.
Did you close the public hearing?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you did. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't write that down. And then did you, in terms of waiting for a motion, was there generally a consensus that we move G to a subsequent condition, strike that last sentence so that they'd have to show proof of those permits prior to the certificate of occupancy?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the staff report with that one minor change.
I'll make a motion to approve land use decision 88-24.
John Kilkenny. Okay.
John made a motion. Do I have a second?
88-68.
I would second that.
Seconded by Commissioner Cooley.
So we have motions been made and seconded. Any additional comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Aye.
Can I abstain from a vote? Or do I have to vote?
You can. It would go down 4-2.
Which it doesn't matter if I voted yes or no.
Typically, you should have a reason for abstention.
Did you vote?
Okay.
I mean, this is why they pay you the big bucks.
Yeah.
Then I'll join the no votes.
Okay. So. Thank you. So motion carries.
Yep.
Okay. Motion carries. Thank you very much, Dan.
Let me know if you need me back in, okay?
We will. It's already 8:30 and we haven't even started the code update review.
If the first one is spelled correctly, the second one's not.
Thank you. We'll text you if we need you. Thank you very much.
I'll be here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So
I had 3 no's and 4 yes.
Yeah, I wrote down those.
Okay, what's our next?
Do you want to take a 5-minute break, Chair, or do you want to?
Oh, go ahead. I don't
care. You can go. You don't have to ask for permission. You can go anytime. We do have some cookies or soda or water. Yeah. Oh,
you forget what you said. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask that you get them all day. I tried.
That was 240.
240 is at
home. That's just with the parks and drugs.
There you go.
Not one. You're not going to stay. Thank you. Not that long.
Okay.
We're all ready? Okay, should we rock and roll? This is not going to be a simple one.
You're on.
I told him.
Oh.
Oh, you did. Okay, all right.
3 months. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Jared.
I'm sorry.
Ready. So I'm also, I had an insurance question, so I was like,
You're on, Daisy.
Okay, Joe. Thank you all. We've gone through this a couple times, and there's been changes. There's some really important stuff, and this is where the devil's in the details. I know when we're going through these permits, it's really hard to be like, oh, we're tied to the standards in the code, but that's so important when we're drafting this code language to say, what are we, you know, what are we looking at? What do we require? And from an outside perspective, when I came into the county and I started processing permits, I was a little bit taken aback that we didn't have standards that say, you need to tell us how much water you're using, you need to ship, those sorts of things. And I think that's part of the impetus for why I said, oh yeah, I want to do a code update, that sounds like fun. So that's where we're at this point. And we've gone through a couple rounds of preliminary review and many, many rounds of discussions with developers and with concerned citizens and with members of the commission to say, what are we really looking at? And so I want to point us to page 248. With our development permits, I think this is the meat of what we're talking about. Because when we're going through an application, we get any application, whether it's a single family home or a massive million square foot data center, we look at it from the perspective of what does our code say? We have 30 days to determine that the submittal requirements have been submitted. And after that 30 days, we've got 150 days to figure out whether the review criteria or review standards have been met. And so I know you guys all know that, but I think just for the perspective of this code update, it's really important to actually ask what do we want to see in order to deem this a complete application, and what information do we want to have before we approve it? And that's true. I'm moving this to Article 5. It used to be at the end of Article 4. It's kind of like a subpart. This is going to be its own article, and it's going to address those questions. So. We have two sort of levels of review for three levels of review for a typical permit. We've got the conditional use permit, which always goes to Planning Commission, and it has a lot more subjectivity, and it allows the Planning Commission a lot of flexibility to say, yeah, I want to add fence standards. I want to limit the height. I want more yard there, and to be really subjective on it. There's the site plan review, which is section 5.020, starting on page 251, which is the middle level of review, which says, yeah, there's some subjectivity here when we're talking about like a traffic impact analysis, or we're talking about a large scale water system. We know there's some subjectivity there, and we're gonna put out public notice, request comments from agencies, but we're not going to raise it to the level of a hearing unless it's requested by the community, or in the case of the last application, that it's something where the planners think that it warrants a public hearing. The first section, 5.010, is the zoning permit, which is clear and objective standards, use is allowed outright, there's no subjectivity. This is something, if someone wants to put a shed in their backyard, you would just say, okay, it meets setbacks, it meets the height standards, we don't need to send out notice, we don't need to really, it's not even a land use application, it's just a permit. So with those three levels of review in mind, I've drafted these submittal requirements and review criteria based on what we've talked about, what we've discussed, what we feel like is a reasonable level of information to have in order to grant those first two levels of permits. The conditional use permit, I didn't really play around with too much because there is that level of subjectivity and discretion, so the Planning Commission can make a more case-by-case determination. But with these first two levels of review, we want it to be as straightforward as possible. So someone coming in for an application knows exactly what to expect. And that really, the way that the state requires us to process these types of permits, we can't really have a ton of discretion on that. It's not really appropriate to allow the planner to say, oh, you know, I know we have a 35-foot height limit, but in this case, you can only do 10 feet. Like, that sort of subjectivity puts us in a position to to not treat everyone fairly, to, like, be discretionary.
Discriminatory.
And the goal of these first two layers of review, and to some degree, conditional use permits, but the first two layers of review especially, we want to be as clear and objective as possible, so we're not telling people, like, I don't know, could be approved, could be not approved. So I hope you've had a chance to really focus in on these sections, because I think they really encompass and encapsulate those changes where we felt like the current version of the code doesn't necessarily address that full range of items that we want to have information on before approving a permit. So yeah, there's a lot here. There's a lot we've already gone through. I didn't go back through the whole PowerPoint, but I put together a few pieces of language that we can kind of discuss and debate. But I think this is a great opportunity to maybe have that dialogue with the commission and the planners and just answer questions and sort of get to the nitty-gritty of, you know, why we are proposing the language that we have here. And again, this is a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners. So you guys can recommend whatever you want to recommend, and you can have that, and the Board of Commissioners can remand it back, or they can approve it, or they can tweak it. That's something where I think it's super important for the Planning Commission to be involved. And even if you are able to attend the Board of Commissioners meeting where this is discussed, it's super helpful, I think, to have Planning Commissioners there to explain why these recommendations are drafted the way they are. Yeah, with that, I think that's sufficient to sort of cover what we hadn't already discussed at the prior work session and hearing. And so whatever questions you guys have or feedback, we're happy to entertain.
Daisy, yeah. Could, like exactly what we were kind of talking about tonight, some of those issues, could something with the water and use of the water, use of power, loss of farmland to energy development, and those things be put into the code in such a way that we're, that's slowed down or preserve the character of our county? And I mean, I know that's a massive thing, but how do we start to work that stuff into the code to where we start to throttle down on, because it seems like the data center stuff just has free reign. Whatever they want to do, the energy sector is just, it's like the Wild West. Mm-hmm. They want it, we give it to them.
Yeah.
How can we start putting in the code so we draw back on that stuff?
So there's two pieces. The first is when you have a piece of property that's zoned a certain way, and I want you to kind of imagine this for your own self. If you have a residential property and you expect that it's, you can do residential use on it, when the county comes in and says, actually, we're changing that, you can't do residential there anymore. That there is an implication for limiting development on a specific zone for land that has been that zoned that way for a specific amount of time. So it's challenging for us to say, okay, you can only use X amount of water on industrial zone land, for example, or those specific moratoriums or limits on development. There are definitely options to change the way that we permit certain things to address community concerns, but I just want to make sure we're aware of that sort of the sort of both sides of it, right? That it's it is our responsibility to protect, you know, community resources, but it's also our responsibility to grapple with those difficult challenges and be fair across the board. So we can't say, well, this use can use that amount of water, but this use can't on the same if it's an allowed use in that zone. I think Tamara can maybe speak to that a little bit more eloquently, but I think we have a lot of options for really critically interrogating our standards without just completely saying data centers are no longer an outright or no longer a use that's allowed at all or something along those lines.
I do have a question regarding that. Mm-hmm. Along those lines, I think the thing that struck me was the saturation point. Mm-hmm. Can we put that in somewhere? I mean, if you look up Morrow County and data centers were really high percentage across the nation. So, I mean, there's a reason why they're all here. I mean, so at what point do we start controlling that and saying, you know, we don't want to be the number two one in the nation anymore for data centers or whatever we are. We're number two or three right now. I don't know what it is, but we're up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've driven across the entire country and I never saw as many as I do you here in Lamar County. So obviously somewhere along the line, people figured out a way to say this isn't going to be something that's our main, you know, they're not going to take everything.
So I, what Daisy said is right. I would just put it in a little bit different terms. The term moratorium, there's a statutory definition, and there has to be a, it's been a long time since I looked at it. A city or county cannot adopt a moratorium on a particular use unless there are certain check boxes, and then it's only temporary. And that would allow us time to review standards or to review our comprehensive plan. And so the property owners own property, and part of the value of that property is based on the zoning, right? And so that's why the standards are proposed. So we have clear and objective standards to evaluate impacts on what uses are allowed in what zone. So that's another way of using it. What Daisy proposed here, really, even though she was enthusiastic about it, we started this last fall with another major code update, trying to make our site plan review a little bit more clear. That got complicated, and so we pulled that from the board's level. And what we have here is to continue to allow, not changing any use categories. So if you go to an industrial zone, those list of uses that are provided, that are listed outright, it's very misleading. I'm a planner, I've done it for a long time. The use permitted outright is not a user-friendly term, but it doesn't mean that you come in at the counter and we sign the box and you walk out the door. There was a time in history you can do that. With a residential development on a bare piece of property zoned residential, it's almost that simple. Very few of anything else of the other permits we review are that simple. So that's why this says, well, if it doesn't mean you just come in and check the box and we walk out the door, what does that mean? So uses would be subject to site plan review. And we're in this draft, we didn't propose...
So how do we propose that data center be a conditional use instead of an outright use?
You'd move it from an outright use to a conditional use.
By a motion and a vote?
Yeah.
What latitude does that give us if we did that? Like what?
The bar would be a little bit higher. So to Commissioner Finch's point, I think in our conditional use, now I'm really winging it, but in our conditional use standards, we have some general standards that say, is this consistent with the comprehensive plan? All those other things, an outright use or a land use decision, have really clear and objective standards, or pretty clear. The conditional use is a little fuzzier. All of our standards that are in our code, this is the implementing ordinance in the lingo, so those should be clearly implementing all those policies that we have in our plan. I don't know, as planners, will ever, unless we really revisit sections of our comprehensive plan and then the code, we would ever get to that major carrying capacity issue. Unless they couldn't check a box about, what are you doing, do you have enough water or wastewater and power? Those are like bigger policy questions. The policy issue is, I love to talk about energy because I know just enough to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, but you know, the Public Utility Commission manages and regulates the large utility providers, and they have their service territory, and they're really, in a nutshell, they're obligated to provide energy upon request, right? There's nothing a planner can do. There's no comp plan or code that really does anything about it. Does it affect our rates in the long run? Probably, but that's not really, that's a PUC, that's a state legislative policy decision. That's not something we do as planners. And with your question about farmland, there's this huge push with the Oregon legislature to make it even easier to develop renewable energy. And even what we learned in the Nolan case from our neighbor in Umatilla County, even when we do adopt more rigid standards, the State Siting Council has the ability to ignore those. It's pretty discouraging as a local planner when those sort of things happen. So I'm just using those two things as, I think those are like major state level policy issues that kind of are above what we do as planners.
And that's exactly what would have happened if everybody would have voted against this today. They just took it right up to the other one. It took them a little more time, and away they go.
Yeah, if you had denied, if tonight, yeah, we probably shouldn't rehash that.
No, for instance, I mean, it's no different than Nolan.
It's a little bit different because this is strictly a local decision, not a state council or committee approving it. Yeah, that's why it's a little bit different. Anyway, so to answer your question, you could go down that route of making certain uses a conditional use where you think that they're at that level where you want additional scrutiny. If you choose to do that, I hope you also approve the site plan review process because Daisy's put a lot of work into it, and it gives staff and the landowners and developer that kind of level of certainty, because when we started this last year, at Dan Kearns' advice, we were really issuing permits that required a more robust process than we had been. So checking off the box like we did for several data centers and not having any public notice for a variety of reasons we weren't really consistent with Oregon procedures.
So Daisy, I see some water things in your proposal. So what you've done then could lead to restrictions on like what we saw.
So it'll give us a little bit more leverage to ask those questions, right? I think that when we look at site plan review, if it rises to the level of site plan review, again, not everything does, that under the submittal requirements proposed that I put on page 253, they'll need to show an electric. And Stephen actually can share some actually slightly amended language that was recommended in consultation with Jacob this morning. But we do want to see their electric, water, septic, industrial wastewater services plans. And we want to see a demonstration that those services are available or can be made available to the site. That's what we want to see. And if we don't feel like we've seen that from them, we can say that your application is not complete. We need more information before we even start the 150-day clock. That's where we were held up on prior applications at times, where we felt like there wasn't sufficient information, but there weren't any submittal requirements that we could point to say, well, you're not meeting this submittal requirement. So under review criteria, that theme section, there are several pieces that we've workshopped even a little bit deeper. If this is what Stephen's showing here. On page 252, where we want to see that water is or will be made available to the site at a quantity and quality adequate for the proposed use. We then go on to say, because that was our original language, and we were asked by the developers, can you get more specific? What are you really asking for? What do you really want to see? So we're asking for new developments to show either an estimated annual water usage and the necessary OWRD authorizations for on-site wells, essentially, and that exempt sources would be exempt from that. But the second option would be a letter, notice, or memorandum of understanding from the service provider evidencing a commitment to serve the site, which shall indicate the source of water and a targeted delivery date for the site.
So that would, if that was in effect tonight, they would have been required to tell us the water stuff.
That, correct.
Okay.
So
that where you're saying the Oregon Water, or the OWRD to provide authorization, what is that? What do you mean by that?
So when you have an exempt well, you don't need any OWRD authorization, right. But when you're going out to get a water right, you need to show you need to get a permit from Oregon Water Resources Department showing that, yes, you can use, you know, X amount of water for X use. And that's just a really basic, it's basically similar to like that permit would be what we would want to see prior to zoning permit approval or during the land use process.
I was asking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is for zoning permits. This would be what we wanted to add for all development, that you would be able to say, so unless applicant's use of water is exempt, so exempt wells are exempt, the applicant shall have received all necessary permits or licenses from the Oregon Water Resources Department. If OWRD permits or licenses are required for operations, applicant shall provide a compliance schedule for obtaining the required authorization. So that's to accommodate the situation where it might be a long time before they actually have the permit in hand, but they're asking for, but they can give us a schedule of when they expect to have it in hand, and then that would be required prior to operation. And then if an offsite water source is used, such as the port's facilities or a city facility, then a letter evidencing a commitment to serve the site would be sufficient with a targeted delivery date for water to the site. That's the other piece of it. We want to know when you're going to be able to fulfill that request. So this language is all related to water, and the second piece of it, we want to hone in just on sewer because, we can finish talking about water first, but that's another piece that I want to touch on as well. But this would just give us that little bit of leverage to request more information or say, hey, we need more information in order to approve it, or here's another condition of approval to make sure that we have that information prior to operation. Can you go back to the first slide, I think, where we eliminated this? This is the one where we're just honing in on sewer. So this is what we've decided is the applicability. So something that typically would be allowed outright, that was the right slide, yeah, would be elevated to that administrative review under certain standards. So under D, applicability, which is page 251. That's where we said these are items, if it requires a TIA, if it doesn't have an existing exempt well, if it requires a DEQ permit. And the other one that we've added is if it requires the off-site extension of sewer, and that's just to address goals 11 and 14. And this language is tweaked in green compared to what's shown in your packet based on a conversation we had with the Port of Morrow.
Daisy, there was I noticed last week and last month at this one, but Jacob and also Megan were objecting to some of the stuff that you had proposed. Did you adopt their suggestions into your code, or did you stick to what you had?
In part. Some of them we've adopted. Also, Elaine.